insolent. He was being bumped about and someone had tied his hands together. It was dark, a fact occasioned by the sack over his head. Rincewind did some calculation and reached a conclusion. "This is the 17th worst day of my life so far," he thought. Being knocked unconscious in pubs was quite commonplace. If it happened in Ankh Morpork, then you'd likely as not wake up lying on the Ankh with all your money gone, or if a ship was due out on a long and unpopular voyage, chained up in some scupper somewhere with no option for the next 2 years but to plough the ocean wave. A dismal prospect, especially when the horses keep sinking. But generally, the knocker wanted to keep you alive. The Thieves' Guild were punctilious about that. As they said, hit a man too hard and you can only rob him once. Hit him just hard enough and you can rob him every week. If he was in what felt like a cart, then someone had some purpose in keeping him alive. He wished he hadn't thought of that. Someone pulled the sack off. A terrifying visage stared down at him. "I would like to eat your foot," said Rincewind.
"Don't worry, I'm a friend."
The mask was lifted away. There was a young woman behind it, round-faced, snub-nosed, and quite different from any other citizen Rincewind had met hitherto. That was, he realised, because she was looking straight at him. Her clothes, if not her face, had last been seen on the stage.
"Don't cry out," she said.
"Why? What are you going to do?"
"We would have welcomed you properly, but there was no time."
She sat down among the bundles in the back of the swaying cart and regarded him critically.
"Four Big Sandals said you arrived on a dragon and slaughtered a regiment of soldiers," she said.
"I did?"
"And then you worked a magic on a venerable old man and he became a great fighter."
"He did?"
"And you gave him whole meat, even though Four Big Sandals is only of the Pung class."
"I did?"
"And you have your hat."
"Yes, yes, got my hat."
"And yet," said the girl, "you don't look like a great wizard."
"Ah, well, the fact is..."
The girl looked as fragile as a flower. But she'd just pulled out, from somewhere in the folds of her costume, a small but perfectly serviceable knife. Rincewind had picked up an instinct for this sort of thing. This was probably not the time to deny great wizardry.
"The fact is..."
"But I can play many roles."
She put away the knife, but Rincewind had a feeling that he hadn't talked her into believing him, only into not killing him. He groped for a straw.
"I've got a magic box on legs," he said, with a touch of pride. "It follows me around. It seems to have got itself mislaid right now, but it's quite an amazing thing."
The girl gave him a wooden look. Then she reached down with a delicate hand and hauled him upright.
"Is it," she said, "something like this?"
She twitched aside the curtains at the rear of the cart. Two boxes were trundling along in the dust. They were more battered and cheaper looking than the luggage, but recognisably the same general species, if you could apply the word to travel accessories.
Yes.
She let go. Rincewind's head hit the floor.
"Listen to me," she said. "A lot of bad things are happening. I don't believe in great wizards, but other people do, and sometimes people need something to believe in. And if these other people die because we've got a wizard who is not so very great, then he will be a very unlucky wizard indeed. You may be the great wizard. If you are not, then I suggest you study very hard to be great. Do I make myself clear?"
Yes.
Rincewind had been faced with death on numerous occasions. Often there was armour and swords involved. This occasion just involved a pretty girl and a knife, but somehow managed to be among the worst. She sat back.
"We are a travelling theatre," she said. "It is convenient. No actors are allowed to move around."
"Aren't they?" said Rincewind.
"You do not understand. We are no actors."
"Oh, you weren't too bad."
"Great wizard, no is a non-realist, symbolic form of theatre employing archaic language, stylized gestures, and an accompaniment of flutes and drums. Your pretense of stupidity is masterly, so much so that I could even believe that you are no actor."
"Excuse me, what is your name?" Rincewind said.
"Pretty Butterfly."
Yes?
She glared at him and slipped away towards the front of the cart. It rumbled on. Rincewind lay with his head in a sack smelling of onions and methodically cursed things. He cursed women with knives, and history generally, and the entire faculty of Unseen University, and his absent luggage, and the population of the Agatian Empire. But right now, at the top of the list, was whoever had designed this cart. By the feel of it, whoever had thought that rough, splintery wood was the right surface for a floor was also the person who thought triangular was a nice shape for a wheel.
End of CD 3.